Hello, this is Guillermo del Toro, and you're listening to Out Now Podcast. Hello.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. Hello. How are you, Aaron?
Doing well. I've had a good weekend so far, but I'm excited to get back to what we're doing here. How are you doing?
I'm a little scared.
Good.
To talk about what we're going to be doing here, but I'm also excited.
Also good. I like that. I like that balance of tensions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I discuss new movies weekly. However, it is, of course, as we all know, spooky season. a time of year that can only exist in 1 month and then immediately ends and no one talks about it again
until
a year later. That's how it works.
I've never seen a Spirit Halloween last in November.
You're not here. Exactly. That's how it is. It's just a warehouse with tumbleweeds that blow by these empty buildings that have a sign.
Never talk about that Spirit Halloween again. Yeah. There was never a Spirit Halloween here.
Much like Logan's Run, if you try to watch a horror movie outside the range, you immediately get executed. So, that's what we're
in
this season. Yeah. But with all that in mind, all I want to do is go on the spooky season tangent now. What we're doing here is our horror specials, of course, where we have our 5 dedicated weeks to doing special bonus horror-themed episodes. We talked horror epics week 1. We just did our first-time horror watches for week 2. And now for this third installment in our 2025 horror specials, we're doing our top 5 VHS segments. Abe and myself, along with our guests, we've picked 5 VHS segments from the VHS franchise that we think are our favorites of the bunch. And so joining Abe and I to go over our top 5 picks we have from the Brandon Peters Show, it's Brandon Peters.
Apologize to listeners, as on the previous horror special, I forgot to do this, but I will continue with, there's witches and broomsticks and big black hats stirring up their potions in big black vats. Stop, look, and listen, it's Halloween.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That was well done.
I know.
That was well done.
It was very good.
Spoiler, I'm going to do it for every of the remaining ones.
Yes.
I meant to do it, but there's a missing one, which will now be trivia for those Out Now fans when they're playing trivia night at Moe's Pub and Grill on Thursday evenings. Random forget.
Random tangent, because you mentioned this now. Before I even get to our second guest, I need to say this out loud. Yesterday I was at Vidiots with a friend of the show, Jordan Grout, and we were at a Treehouse of Horror special where they were playing a lot of Treehouse of Horror segments from The Simpsons, and in between they'd have trivia as well as a costume contest for said Simpsons thing. This contest was fucking rigged because they had a guy came in dressed like Mo. He had the towel on his arm. He had the thing. He was a dead on Mo. And they're going with like audience gauge, like who's cheering the loudest. People were clearly cheering for Mo. And he got voted out like second out of like 30 people. And I'm like, what are we talking about? It is the only guy that tried. You know who won? Some little kid that just did his hair up and had a red shirt on. I'm like, come on. You got to teach kids to lose. You can't just do
yeah, no participation trophies.
A fucking soccer trophy here. You had 2 people dressed as Ned's parents, the hippies. They're like, we're out of options.
They had Ned's parents?
Yeah, they were also like the best, and they got voted out like 4th or something.
All right, so before we get to upcoming guests here, I had a Halloween costume contest 1 year where I went as Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Which part?
I wore a skin suit and the robe and everything else. I put the Silence of the Lambs poster logo over my part that no one would see. And I had a basket with lotion and a little puppy in there. And people were dying all night. Loving my costume. Come the costume contest. I lost to a little kid's store-bought costume, Freddie Mercury.
Wow.
Like, come on.
You're not the only person that lost to Freddie Mercury.
Those goddamn kids to lose.
Wow.
We're just going to glide by the part where you said I had a skin suit.
I did. It was like a bodysuit. It was like skin colored. It was like it was not comfortable. And I made I put the piercings and the tattoos in the right spot.
The finger tattoo.
In college, 1 year, I went as Ash and I like paused screens to make sure the tears were right in my shirt and the blood That's why.
It's called dedication.
Hey, Brandon, I'd fuck you.
Yeah, you would.
Hey, Brandon, are you a size 14, by the way?
All right. Also joining us, obviously the next thing we have to do here, from Slash Film, Bill Bria.
Black cats and goblins and broomsticks and ghosts.
Yes!
Covens of witches with all their hosts. You may think they scare me. You're probably right. Black cats and goblins at Halloween night, trick or treat.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Glad to have you guys both here.
There we go.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm in the spirit.
This is spooky.
Spirit Halloween.
Tis the season.
Spirit Halloween.
This is tip of the cap.
On steroids now. That's what this is. All right. We need to get right into things. We're getting into our top five VHS segments. I think it's pretty straightforward. VHS is obviously the anthology horror series that began back in 2012 in earnest. It had a follow-up a year later. One year later. Mm-hmm. Then it had another follow-up after that. Speaking of, what did you just say about something I was missing? Oh, you missing saying the Halloween song in the second episode. VHS Viral, the third one, famously has a missing segment because the guy basically didn't understand the assignment. That was pretty much the reason. Then the series was dormant for a little while until Shudder picked it up. I believe Magnolia had it initially, right?
Magnet.
The same company.
Yeah.
But then Shudder picked up the rights, and now they've been doing them ever since. We had 94, 99, 85, Beyond, and now this year VHS Halloween. Who's seen VHS Halloween, by the way, at this point?
I did.
Okay, good. Great. So we're all basically caught up on the VHS movies. Abe, I know you've read more about some of them than seen. Because too scary, I believe, is the word tout.
More like, maybe some I could do without people getting their eyes cut into.
Yeah, too scary.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Soft, Abe, soft.
One day I'm going to become so hardcore, Brandon, you're not even going to recognize me.
I want to point out.
Watch every Lucio Fulci movie.
that's next year.
All right, Brandon.
Fulci next year.
Fulci, man. Come on now.
Yeah. No, I want to acknowledge that. Like, I still enjoy this series while also acknowledging that there's a wild misrepresentation of how cameras were used in the 80s, 70s, and like understanding.
Sure.
Like, I still have fun with it while being like, nobody used a camcorder like that, or you could I acknowledge there is a big cheat you have to just get over in order to get some of these. If
Brandon,
you're a nitpicker,
the only reason that you think that is because those people died, so you don't know that they were using the cameras like
that's why you don't use
now.
A camera like that
that's true. But yeah, obviously this is an anthology series. Every entry and each entry of the franchise is directed by a different director, many of whom are either up-and-comers. Sometimes it gets some veterans that kind of come in and do one as well. It's a mix of things, usually a good like way to like spot talent. A couple of these shorts, two I believe, have been adapted into like full-length features. So just giving you a brief history on the VHS franchise for those who aren't aware. Before we get started, I have a brief addendum to last week's episode, the first time watches, that I need to bring up.
Correction.
Here's what happened. We're watching so many movies at once that things are like slipping out of my head. And if I don't write it down or if it gets copied over, I'm going to fucking forget it. And that's exactly what happened, because this is the main one I wanted to talk about, Brandon.
Oh,
Phantasm. I was going to say something
because I was like,
I wish you brought it up, because I completely forgot that was the main one I was going to bring up. I watched Phantasm for the first time.
So I take it you didn't like it. Jesus.
No, I dug it a lot. It's really good. I think I'm more into Don Coscarelli than I realized, because I like John Dies at the end. I love Bubba Hotep.
Yeah,
I love
what's
the other one he recently did?
I'm
just thinking of Bubba
nothing
Hotep
recently.
Still.
Yeah, Bubba Hotep probably. Yeah,
just watch it more. But regardless, no, I dug Phantasm. I don't want to talk about it too much because we have a whole other episode to do. But I really did dig Phantasm quite a bit. I liked what it was doing. It was more. Had more adventure in it than I realized, as far as being like these two brothers kind of going on a weird sci-fi. It also has more sci-fi
with their ice cream man friend.
Yeah, Reggie.
Reggie. R.I.P.
So, Aaron, does this mean you haven't seen the sequels yet?
I'm certainly intrigued by what they how there's like five of them.
Yeah. I adore this franchise.
Two is
one
an
of the
action road
franchise.
Trip movie. It changes
of course it is.
Like
Two is a big budget summer blockbuster. They put it in the middle of July of '88, which is ridiculous. I love that they went that hard on that, which is crazy.
Three is quite good, and everybody trashed it when it came out. Yeah. And I was like, this is kind of like more of two that you want. Like,
yep.
And then four is, that's the one I'm, well, I like four more every time I go to it.
Yeah,
four
is weird.
Ravager is the last one?
Yeah, Ravager is just a goofy, like, fan service-y
sort
of
thing. Coscarelli didn't even direct it.
Yeah, okay.
It's cute, but it's, you know.
Yeah. The fun thing is, like, the second one, they were able, like, he fought so hard, he's like, okay, well, I need Reggie Bannister back. He could only get one between him and the kid back, and they had to recast the other one.
Yep.
And they replaced the kid with James LeGros. Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, someone wrote this whole transcript of, like, the office meeting of greenlighting Phantasm 2, and, like, there's someone arguing, I don't know if it's a big deal, da da da. And then one guy says, puts phone down. We've got a verbal commitment from James LeGros. And they're like, greenlit, let's go.
LeGros is a go.
That's a fun fucking movie, though. Awesome.
You gifted that to me at least a year ago or so, and I was very much happy to finally watch it. And no, I really dug it. I felt bad that I realized literally days later when I was going through my like diary on Letterboxd, like, oh yeah, I totally watched Phantasm. I completely didn't talk about it. Anyway,
you'll see, you haven't seen all of Phantasm because there's like an hour and a half cut out of that movie that gets used throughout the rest of the season.
Hour and a half.
All right.
Wait till you get to part four, man.
Part four. Yeah, man.
Okay, so that's a brief interlude to go back to last week. Let's get to our VHS segments. I should note right now, all of us have already agreed that there is a clear number one choice here, so we're going to save that one till the end. Anyone that's a fan of the VHS franchise is probably aware of which one we're referring to, but we'll just get to that when we get to it. So now let's get into it. Bill, what is your first pick for your top five VHS segments?
Yeah, because of the obvious number one you're alluding to, I deliberately tried to pick ones that are favorites of mine that maybe I thought not are like communal favorites, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. So the first on my list, number five on my list, is let me get the name here, Ryan Prowse's Terror from VHS 94, which, if you guys don't recall, is the one where the militia has a vampire in their capture. I really love the world building in that one. I love the aesthetic of just the way it looks and the way it's shot. It does that VHS thing, which I think is kind of the sweet spot for the entire series as a whole, which is it's very sardonic. It has a sense of humor, but at the same time, it's pretty dark. You know, it's not fun, quote unquote, in terms of like everybody lives and everybody's having a good time and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, it's pretty brutal at the end, but
I think it's fair to say we could spoil things at this.
Yeah, the fact that the militia you know, dies so violently and everything like that, and you know, things go
like a white
go
supremacist
awry.
Militia.
Yeah, white. Yeah, yeah. these are not nice people. That
I might as go as far as say, give me extra details.
Yeah. Oh, why? Are you not familiar with it?
This sounds like a great premise.
This, you know, I might like to watch this sometime. So right, it's. A white supremacist group who are trying to blow up a building. They're in a compound where this man's being kept prisoner and he's pleading for his life. And one of the guys shoots him and reveals that they're a vampire. And then they are, you know, sort of casing the building that they're trying to plan to blow up. And then one of these other people from one of the other segments shows up to give them guns and ammo. And then the whole point is that the militia is using the vampire to, like, siphon their blood to inject it into different things that make it explosive for some reason. The vampire's blood's explosive, so they're planning to use the blood as a bomb. And then they have like a party where they're celebrating their, you know, alleged victory that's gonna come to place and or come to pass. And then there's, you know, things go awry. There's a corpse behind a truck, and there's a thing in the compound, and I don't know, I haven't watched it in a minute, but yeah, the things go awry, the vampire gets loose, everybody dies, and explodes. It's just very, I don't know, it has like texture to it that I really appreciate.
It's one of the funnier ones, as I recall. For a series that has morbid laughs at times, but that one's like legit, like trying to be a little bit more funny than I think.
Sure. And a comedy in a way that's different than, say, sort of quippy stuff, you know?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Terror. Cool.
Sold me.
Brandon, what's your first pick here?
Okay, so when I'm going through my top five, I tried to pick one from a different movie each so it wasn't overloaded. But I'm gonna and I'm gonna give it 5 because of recency bias. But I'm going with Fun Size from Halloween.
Okay.
VHS Halloween. I don't know if I want to spoil this one because it's been out a week.
Sure.
Right.
But the premise is there's these adults going trick or treating. Two of them are dressed as found footage filmmakers. That's their gag, and they're engaged. And they come across this house with a giant bowl of candy that says, "Please take just one." And the candies are all these weird names and brand that nobody knows, including one that is a male penis-shaped chocolate thing that the one guy eats and gets cream all over him.
It's
and
just
then,
him on his chin.
Just him on his chin. And then he gets a hand comes down and pulls them. Everybody ends up getting pulled into this cellar thing that has a weird candy man creature and a little thing, and stuff happens where you see how the candy was made, and it's pretty effective, and the monsters in it that creep me out a bit, and there's some fight, there's a little bit beating over the head to know this guy is obsessed with calling his fiance and all lovey-dovey, but it kind of, I mean, it's a short, so I don't think you need to say it as much, but that's about the only gripe with it. But I rather liked the construction of this one and what it was going for. And I really think the VHS Halloween, this new one, really did fun takes on like old Halloween, like decorating things and traditions and stuff. Right. That was kind of fun with this one. I actually think, I was pretty high on VHS Halloween.
It's
in my upper half of the rank of these ones. I like this one quite a bit. Fun Size and one other one from this one are my favorites from Halloween specifically. This, I should know, this one's from Casper Kelly.
I forgot to mention that. Sorry.
He's responsible for the Adult Swim segments, Too Many Cooks, and of course the
Yule Logs.
The Yule Logs.
Yeah, Yule Logs. Yeah. Log
movies, oh, really?
Which are fucked up.
Just so good. I love those too. Love them.
Very good.
I had three I could have picked from VHS Halloween that I liked.
The character like that represents Fun Size, I think, is like it's this mix of like there's something there that's like, I don't know, it's like Sam from Trick or Treat, where it's like I'm intrigued by this thing, but it's also scary in its own way.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
There. But yeah,
these guys have smiles on their faces.
Yeah. Well, Abe, what is your first pick?
Very much true to my nature. I'm a big fan of originals. I chose actually the wraparound segment from the first VHS, Simon Barrett's Day 56.
Oh, I was wondering if someone was going to pick a wraparound.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in large part, you know, I'm big fan of like, again, John Wick, Chapter 1, great. All these other first ones, I'm a big fan of just the way that the lore is set up. So just the idea of these two kids filming on Halloween night, going into this house, going room to room, seeing a guy in a chair and just being like, well, he's probably dead, but look at all these cool things called VHS tapes, and then playing them. And then, the guy disappears at the end, and fun stuff ensues. So I like the setup of it. And as the movies have progressed, I will have like a probably another rip around. But I enjoyed the simplicity of it, which is just old house, Halloween night, not a lot going on, just tapes.
You're talking about the first one, right?
Yeah.
The first one. Yeah.
The first VHS. So that was a group of like weird, like sort of rapey dudes who were going around and filming themselves assaulty things. And then they get, I know this because I used audio from the first VHS for one of my Halloween mixtapes that I made this one year. So it's ingrained in my head. I listen to it every, I know I make them for myself, but I used to make them for friends, and then CDs stopped being a thing. Yeah, they have like a benefactor on the internet who like tells them they should go to this one house.
That's right.
Where it's like, yeah, you should go there and you should film some stuff. And I love your stuff. And he's like, dude, we don't even post our stuff. We don't even give our names. Like, how does he know who we are? So it has this, it sets up this weird sort of half lore that the series tried for a few films, you know, where it's this idea that these VHS tapes are like cursed and they're being passed around in like some sort of black markety, underground, internet-y kind of dark web thing. Which then essentially the series is all but dropped at this point. But I like that Barrett was, and I guess Adam Wingard a little bit, were trying to give it some sort of larger narrative. But
yeah,
yeah. I wonder if they'll come back to that.
I was surprised that when returning, I rewatched some of these. The first one, I forgot how overly misogynistic it comes off as.
Oh, like almost every, like, it is, every one of them.
It's entirely why I'm not a big fan of VHS1, because it's very creepy. And it's over and over again. So I'm like, it's always kind of turned me on. I'm not trying to rain on the predator, but like, that's literally been my impression of VHS. Yeah. That's why, by comparison, VHS2 felt like such a giant upheaval in the right sort of direction, where it's like, oh, okay, so we're, even though like the first one has Adam Wingard being like, quick, have sex with me so you don't pay attention to these ghosts. I'm like, oh, here we go. Right, but then the rest of them.
Classic producer move.
Yeah. Adam Wingard, friend of mine, who I've met and shared
don't
nice stories.
Don't listen to this episode, Adam.
Shared nice stories with about Godzilla. Films,
yeah. Oh, don't worry. He knows. He's aware.
He's a rotating picture in my phone.
Now, if in one of his Godzilla movies he had Godzilla have sex with him before he started Ghosts, I mean, that's a whole different story.
That might work out.
Yeah. But I am interested to hear which other wraparound you get to, because there's one that I specifically really like. The rest of them I can generally take or leave. I'm like, all right, let's get this going. It's like thing. It's like, these are almost 2 hours. We got to keep this moving. What it does narrow down, I do think the creepy factor is there as far as like guys in hallways and stuff, and they're like watching tapes and something's lurking behind them, that kind of thing.
It
gets across the mood for sure. I do respect that a lot.
And then like, the person watching each tape disappears after the tape's over, that sort of thing.
The xenomorph got them. That's what it is.
Yeah.
right. I will say, I believe it's, who directs the wraparound on the first one? Oh, it's Adam Wingard.
I think it was Wingard. Yeah, I think it was Wingard.
Yeah. All right. My first pick, and by the way, I did similar to you, Brandon and Bill, I believe. I tried to choose one from different movies each time around to kind of keep it varied. My first one is from VHS Beyond, an entry that I wasn't as huge. I think like a lot of people liked Beyond more than I did. I wasn't huge on Beyond overall.
I wasn't huge on Beyond either.
No.
Okay. But there is one that I like quite a bit, which is Live and Let Die, but it features Paul McCartney. Yep. But no, it's directed by Justin Martinez. This is the one where a group of people in like a bachelor party go on a skydiving trip. And as they start as the plane's flying, like aliens start invading and they all jump off the plane. And as they're flying, they're like parachuting down the plane, like shit's going on in the air. Spaceships are everywhere or like there's just like something's happened that's crazy. And then they finally land in like an orange grove or something like that. Some of them are more injured than others because it was like a harsh landing and whatnot. And do they all have GoPros or what is there? Is it just one guy that has a camera? I forget how many cameras there are total. But regardless, something's landed also in the orange grove and it's chasing them around and it's nuts. And it's moving, like, by the time you see it, like, the alien design is like, it's all right. But in the, like, instance when it's, like, in creeper mode and you, like, don't know exactly what's happening, it's, like, freaky enough where you're like, I've never seen an orange grove used that way. It's like a good use of that kind of a, as opposed to like, I don't know, like corn stalks or whatnot, having like just rows and rows of these, small trees. It's a cool thing to use as like a way to disguise like something being in there. And then more stuff happens as it goes along related to the fact that there's again, an alien invasion taking place that kind of gives you a conclusion to this thing. It's a good one. In terms of what we can do with this, like skydiving. That's fun. That's a fun, like, way to start things up. Like, what if something crazy happens while you're skydiving? And then it just kind of escalates more and more. And it's, appropriately gory and what have you. I believe the alien has some tricks up its sleeves as far as the kind of gore and evisceration it's able to attach itself to. Hmm. But yeah, of the ones in VHS Beyond, this is the one. There's another one that I like quite a bit too, but this one is the one that stuck out to me the most. So
it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I forgot what's called. Live and is like, that's not the best title. I'd say for a movie that involves like skydiving and aliens, but Live and Let Die. All right. That's what it is.
Is it not Live and Let Dive?
It's Dive.
Oh, Die. That's what. That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
I just wrote it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Take that, Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Paul.
Aaron, you watch Phantasm. Don't forget.
He's got jokes. All right. Bill.
Yeah.
What's your next pick?
It's funny because we talked about VHS, the first one, as being, kind of misrepresentative of the rest of the series, given how weirdly misogynistic most of those segments are. And if you start with that one, you might think, oh, is this what the whole franchise is about? It's not. But I think what saves it for me is the final segment, which was my introduction to Radio Silence, 10/31/98. And this was the one that when I saw that first VHS film, I was like, oh, I'm an instant fan, because it really delivered to me what I considered to be the promise of the premise, which is, yeah, you have like, you know, a found footage from presumably analog era. And it's got that sort of mixture of like the Blair Witch verisimilitude with this sort of fun house, you know, haunted house kind of vibe of like, we're going to take you sort of POV through whatever experience these people are having. And I think they're all playing themselves Radio Silence in this, yeah, right? It's Tyler, yeah. Chad, Matt, and Paul.
Yeah. A lot of these are generally the filmmakers playing themselves.
Playing themselves, kind of yeah, right. And so, you know, it has a little bit of that camaraderie of like, okay, this is that filmmaking collective. They all enjoy hanging out with each other sort of thing. They go into a Halloween party. They go to the wrong address. It appears to be an abandoned house. They go into the house and there's weird stuff happening. They think it's a haunted house, but obviously it's not. They finally get to the attic, and then there's a woman who's, you know, being sort of exercised there. There's a men chanting around her sort of thing, but then they notice that these interlopers are there, and then they're telling them to leave. They're, you know, assaulting the woman. There's a dark, unseen force sort of thing that's grabbing people. They eventually, you know, get out of the house and drive away with the woman because they sort of rescue her, which I like the part of that where it's like they're trying to do the right thing as opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, mm-hmm. take her back the to their place or something. Yeah. And so then suddenly while they're escaping, the car stops, the woman's gone. She's now out in the street and walking away. But they realize that they've stopped on train tracks and they can't get out of the vehicle before the train shows up. And I don't know. I just it's well staged in terms of that feeling of being trapped inside a car while a train's approaching. It sounds, you know, simple, but I think the way it builds within the segment is really well done. And, you know, it left me, you know, on a high after that movie going, oh my God, I love that. Like, let's see more of that, you know, sort of thing.
If I'm not mistaken, when the train comes, I believe it's a smash cut to credits too, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
go back to the wraparound.
Oh yeah. The wraparound finishes up before the segment, yeah. which I also enjoy too.
And I agree with you. There's the kind of the energy from that one was like, yes, this is like finally I'm away from some of the other stuff I was seeing throughout this thing. I know like Swanberg's one before this one's like pretty depressing. As I recall.
It's really depressing.
So,
yeah.
So like watching this one's like, here's the uplift idea. Like they knew how to, at least they staggered these correctly. So like we knew how to go out on a high note, but I do like this one quite a bit. And yeah, it was the kind of thing that got me when I see Radio Silence directing new movies. I'm like, okay, cool. Like I know this group. Let's see what they got. So yeah, when they're mm-hmm. announced for Scream and when they started, you know, doing like they did Ready or Not or whatever, I was like, mm-hmm. okay, like I at least have a baseline. I know these guys can come from that. I can like hope they deliver on. So
yeah.
We gotta start our directing careers, Aaron.
No, that's the saving grace of the first one. I mean, not that like the overly misogyny ones aren't bad, and,
right? Yeah,
and on their own,
I mean, on their own, it's a cumulative
cobbled,
effect. Yeah,
they're
yeah,
cobbled,
yeah.
But, and this one, yeah. this is the right kind of bro stuff to put in, right. And like, yeah, this one has this the hands coming out of the walls and shit. Like the execution of this one is elite compared to what has come before, and yeah, this is like one of the best ones throughout the series, and it's pretty. Yeah, I agree.
And I'll say, just because we're talking about the series as a whole, I think that each of these as movies themselves, not just segments, really depend on their final wrap up, whether it's a wraparound or a segment outside of the wraparound. If the last moments are, you know, set you out on that high still, I think it feels like a good experience, like any movie, like, you know, the ending's so important. But that's why some of them, you know, whether it's a wraparound or not, like there's some that sort of land with like a wet fart and, you know, VHS it's, Beyond.
It's why Beyond doesn't sit well with me. And yeah. there's another one I'd argue doesn't sit well with me, despite having presumably like one of the most experienced directors behind it. But no, a lot of them, yes, they do kind of, they know how to end on a high, which usually you get has to be more positive on them than not. Some of the shorts. Brandon, what's your next
all right, my list has changed now for my number four, as 10/31/98 was in my list, but I'm gonna try to mention different ones so we're not like, yeah, same as him, moving on. So my newly added to my list, I'm gonna have from VHS to A Ride in the Park from Eduardo Sanchez and Greg Hale from the Blair Witch Project fame and written by Jamie Nash. This is a very cool experience of a zombie movie in a unique way with found footage, because there's been found footage zombie movies before this, and you get to see, you know, it's a guy who is riding his mountain bike, and he's got a, you know, those extreme people put those things on there. But he's, I don't think he's an extreme guy, but
he just has GoPro on his bike.
GoPro on his bike.
On his helmet. Yeah.
And we get to see him as, you know, a hero of a zombie movie, and then becoming a zombie from a zombie movie. And it's all like, yeah, it's cool. You get to see him from helping out, getting bit, going through that, dying, resuscitating, attack, and then they attack this like little kid's birthday party, which they do cut to video footage from that party, which makes it even more interesting. And just the whole effect of the suspense and chase and thrills coming from the zombie's perspective as you're watching the people attack you, the screen, and you're, you know, hoping them well and to get out, plus adding all the gore and fun stuff with the zombie movie. It's one of the more lighthearted ones, despite being overly violent and gory. But
at a birthday party, of course, it's late.
Yeah, Well, the birthday party, when it comes to that, you get a laugh because you're like, oh, great. Oh, this is going to be funny. Here we go. So, it's a lighthearted one, but it executes well and is an interesting take on the zombie genre as a whole.
I love this one. This is one of my, like, if I wasn't trying to choose different ones from different films, this would easily land on my list as well, because I think this one's fantastic. The premise of this is just so fun.
Yeah.
And because it's a GoPro, there's just like an immediacy of it that Richards really works as far as how you're like showing what's happening, where you see someone become a zombie, and but you get this great perspective going on. It's a really fun one that I enjoy quite a bit.
Me too.
All right. Abe, what's next?
This is one where I need y'all's help.
Okay.
Because I read this one and I was like, oh, this one sounds interesting. This is from VHS 94, The Empty Wake.
Yeah. Okay.
And all right.
The thing that intrigues me, I don't like, you know, mortuaries and.
Oh, you don't hang out there?
No, yeah, I know. No, I'm not in Bob's Burgers.
You should.
We're there. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll plan my next trip there.
Okay.
But pretty clever premise about what's happening here, where they kind of get lost. But it's like their buddy's body. So, and he becomes headless. Like, I'm interesting.
It
spooky. Well, funny.
Spooky? Question mark.
So this was on my list, and I might replace it now. But it is one that I quite enjoy. It's a funeral home worker who is like assigned to a wake.
Yeah.
And basically it just amounts to they're in this space and creepy things are happening during this like one long night while this person's supposed to be in a coffin, and the coffin starts like doing
making
things.
Noises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
reminds me like of something like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That's kind of what intrigued me a lot about.
Yeah, that and like or like a Lights Out type urban tale of like, oh, they looked one way and then like they looked back and like something like that.
There's a little bit if you guys know the film One Dark Night that Tom McLaughlin did with Meg Tilly. I happened to watch it at the New Bev, you know, just a week ago or something. So
okay,
that's why it's on my mind. But
this one's written and directed by Simon Barrett.
Simon Barrett.
Yeah,
and I really like the end. The way that he's, because pretty much the entirety of it is in that one room, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I like that he's able to use the space effectively for, you know, again, a short film. So by the end of that segment, the room is totally trashed and, you know, all messed around and crazy.
It's a better version of Robert Zemeckis' is Here.
It's certainly a fan shorter. Of Here.
But does this have Tom Hanks in it?
The Empty Wake. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of comments. I don't know. Maybe he's playing David S. Pumpkins in the background somewhere. I don't know.
Any questions?
Yeah, at the end, he's like, any questions?
But no, this I am a fan. I'm quite the fan of this one. I like this one a lot. It has the right. It has a kind of matter of fact spookiness to it, we go back to this a lot. But like, it has the sort of Paranormal Activity 3 scare of rotating fan. Something's over here. You're looking away. Like, wait, I want to see what's going on over there. Though, and then you look back. Like, fucking damn it, it's there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right. My next one is what's my next one? Oh, it's Suicide Bid.
Ooh, I love this one. I had
this one too.
This one's from VHS 99. It's directed by Johannes Roberts, who did 47 Down. 47 Down. 47. The football movie 47
Down. Football movie 47 Down.
It's about a really terrible football team. 47 Meters Down and the Strangers Pray at Night, the Strangers sequel that actually is worth seeing.
This one, it's about a, what is it? It's a sorority initiation where three girls bury another girl underground in a coffin. And I'm like, good Lord.
Oh, no.
Like, I am not into this already. Like, that itself is already just a segment. Like, that just be, but like, this one, of course, is like, not only is she buried underground, but she's buried in some, like, area where there's like an urban legend about another person that like died in some horrible way or whatever. Suffice to say, while she's underground in this coffin, she discovers something else is in there with her.
Like, yep.
And the way it has to, it's a great example of like minimalism put to great use, where you have to work with no space whatsoever, you know, because you're literally in a coffin, and somehow have to make that interesting for like 20 minutes. And I think it does a really good job of like making it creepy. Doesn't make it too redundant of like what's going on exactly. Has other things happen as far as the kinds of jumps that you're getting out of this very specific scenario. It's a good one. This is which one is this? 99? Yeah, 99. 99 is a lot of ones I really like a lot.
Oh, for sure.
This one's a good one for sure.
Love it.
All right. Let's back to you, Bill. What's your next one?
Okay, so I have picked a segment from the much maligned VHS Viral, which is one that I never hated when it came out. I know people had their beef with it a lot, but despite the sort of behind the scenes issues of, you know, losing a segment that was planned and then, you know, that whole deal, which we won't go into, so it feels shorter and maybe sort of less complete than the others as a film. I think that the segments generally were pretty okay, but there was one that really stood out to me, which is Nacho Vigalondo's Parallel Monsters.
Okay.
Because I love when this series gets ambitious and it pays off. You know, sometimes it'll get ambitious and it's sort of like too ambitious for its own good. Again, I think the wraparound for VHS Beyond is an example of that, where it's like, oh, that really could have been interesting if it had a payoff, and it doesn't. But this one is about a scientist, and it's all in Spanish because Nacho is, you know, a native Spanish speaker. So it's got that added thing to it, which is cool, because it's always cool when these are in a foreign language, sort of as variety, you know, because again, if we're doing a grab bag of segments in the anthology film, it's nice to have variety. And he's working on a interdimensional portal thing.
As you do.
Scientists are always doing this. And he sees, when he opens the portal, he sees a version of himself looking back at him, revealing it's opened, you know, a gateway to a parallel universe. And so the two versions of himself sort of discover that they're identical, and they agree to trade places. And so our guy, our Alfonso, I think is his name, the character, walks over into the parallel universe and sees a lot of really disturbing shit going on. I guess this is a sort of a satanic world where Satanism is the major religion or something, or maybe, who knows, Satan took over the world. We don't know the world building, but it's a pretty intriguing, sort of dark, hellish version of Earth. And the version of his wife, who's in the parallel universe, wants to have a ritual or something. And should I spoil it? I mean,
there's
hit it.
Rhyme with
okay, because yeah, there are like demon genitals in this universe for some reason, where there's like a, like their penises are fanged, vaginas have the teeth, but they're also kind of going up into the stomach, sort of thing.
Mondays.
As it happens, it's a pretty fun. So it has the sort of parallel universe, like, you know, mistaken identity aspect to it. The idea of like, you know, I'm stuck in a universe that's not my own. And also the fear of like, oh, this guy with a fanged penis is now over in my universe with my regular human wife. Oh, no. You know, sort of thing. Yeah, it doesn't end well. But in a way that's really another fun twist, which is the fact that like you think that the demon Alfonso is going to, you know, hurt the wife or kill her. And it's actually the opposite, because he scared her so much that the real Maria, who's the woman, regular human version, you know, kills our guy, thinking that he's the other guy. So
that was my de facto number two. It's fine. That one, like,
I thought nobody liked Viral. That's why I was Viral.
Viral's probably my least favorite of these, but it contains like one of the best. So you can't completely toss out Viral because it has parallel monsters in it, because that one is just, it's all sort of eerie, freaky, unsettling. It's a great multi-dimensional story, and reminds me of like awesome, like low budget sci-fi stuff that was done like in the early 2000s.
Oh yeah.
And whatnot. And I really like this one quite a bit. So yeah, it would come after my de facto number one we have here, but yeah, this one's really awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of Paraloma. I like Nacho Vigalondo quite a bit as well. Like, I have a screener for his latest movie, Danielle Forever, which I've yet to watch, but I do like him, and I'm like looking forward to like finally checking it out. But
it's good.
He did Colossal later on, right?
Yep.
Which I'm a big fan of. But Time Crimes, obviously, that's like his debut film, which I love. And so like seeing Parallel Monsters, it's not exactly that, but it certainly has a. They feel like cousins as far as what they're doing. Just this one's because it's VHS, it's more malicious. It doesn't have time to do anything else beyond just be malicious. And it's solid. I agree with you. I like the twists it kind of throws at you as far as like what exactly makes this person different. It's like, oh, that. that's a lot. Viral, I agree. Like, Viral is like, it does try to be a bit like after the first two, which are like, hey, we're watching mysterious VHS tapes. This one's like, isn't there like an ambulance chase and they're like watching it from the news or something? Like
it's
like,
trying to apply the social media aspect to it, which again is an admirable, choice, but yeah it doesn't quite pay off. But
the magician I'm not big on. I do like the other one after the
Bone Storm.
That's Benson and Moorhead. I'm huge fans of. I haven't seen that one again since, but I recall it being like because it's like GoPros and skaters and stuff.
Yep.
But it's like cool masks and things. Yeah. No, Parallel Monsters, that's certainly the highlight, I think, of Viral. Yeah. I saw Viral, I think, at Beyond Fest of that year, because I saw it in theaters. Cool. It was like one of the, I think I've seen two of these in theaters total, and that's one of the ones I said, it was like its debut. And I remember it ended, and I was like, three shorts? What's going on? And like, even the wraparound stuff,
about this. Yeah.
The wraparound stuff was like messed up, because it did like, it felt like it did a wraparound, then it did another wraparound, and then it ended. And like, wait, hold on here. Like, what's going on? Like, I don't think they even knew like how to edit this thing, because they just like ditched a whole short between. Yeah. But anyway, Brandon, what's your...
Okay, so as mentioned, so my list has changed by two now, because I had Suicide Bid on mine. And now it's just okay. We can talk about more of these wonderful VHS segments. Sure. So my next pick is from VHS 94, and it's Storm Drain, written and directed by Julia Kuno. This is some creepy shit. It gave me vibes of, I think was VHS 94 the first Shudder one? Or it was the first?
Shudder one was
so, 94, yeah.
Yeah.
94.
So yeah. Shudder, there's a film I want to champion. I always champion this time of year. Called the WNUF Halloween Special. And I feel that Shudder, when taking on the VHS franchise, has infused their love for that into VHS because there's some copycat stuff, like funny commercials that wind up in these and the aesthetic. And this one has the reporter checking out something kooky, which is what WNUF is about. There's also the Out Now Halloween Special, which is the sequel, and there's a spinoff that just came out. I haven't seen it yet, but
yeah, me neither.
This one's got this reporter. They're talking about this rat man, which is kind of like, is this some random homeless guy harassing people? And they go in the tunnel, and the stuff they film in the tunnel before even the shit goes down feels real and creepy, like the way they capture it with the people in the background finding stuff. Like it feels like genuine found footage, which is really, really cool. And then they get to this cult ritual thing with this little monster comes out, guy's face burns off, and then you get the sort of twisted Twilight Zone ending of the woman being the sole survivor found and after being missing, and then like having some sort of Stockholm syndrome conversion about this rat man that they've worshiped. And there's just the thing that I love is like there's cult stuff going on in this sewer. It's unexplained. Like you don't know how it works, why it functions, why these people, and that makes it scarier. Mm-hmm. And there's like a big understanding of that. Just like with the parallel monsters when we talked about, it's scarier because we only can understand the monsters and stuff in that parallel universe as much as the people holding the camera can understand it. And that makes it even more terrifying because you're trying to put it, it puts you in the place of the person with the camera very well because you're trying to figure out as they are, which is really, I think, integral. And like the less seen, sometimes the scarier or less explained because everybody wants to be comforted by going, oh, so he was abused as a child. Okay. You know, nah, just evil stuff. But this one, I think aesthetically works, and execution wise, camera movements, the way it behaves is top notch for a found footage and very lifelike. Best it can be.
Mm.
I feel like Hey Arnold had a similar rat man type character at some point, where Arnold and Gerald went to the sewers and discovered some like underground rat based society. I think Batman also encountered some kind of character in the sewers.
The Rat King?
Doctor Who rat, did in the 1970s.
Sewers are just rife for rat.
Talons of Wang Chang.
For rat royalty, apparently.
Well, I'm glad we didn't get through this whole episode without saying Hail Ratma. You know?
Yeah. Hail Ratma, yeah.
No, Storm Drain's a good one. That's directed by like Chloe Acuno, who
Chloe Acuno, yep.
Also did the film Watcher, which the world agrees is better than I think it is. So,
World one.
World
Aaron
build
zero.
It, you don't.
The world is against me on Watcher. Yeah. But
the world is a
more power to her. And I believe of 94, well, I know there's been, like, I know, like, Roxanne Benjamin wouldn't have even, like, written and produced a lot of these shorts. I believe 94 is the first one that has female directors on the shorts themselves, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be right. Yeah.
I believe what I'm looking at. I think I'm right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just some notable trivia. Who's the ape? What's next?
This is recency bias as well, and I'll give you the reason why I like this, but it's Paco Plaza's Und Supra Sic Infra. I just really like the editing in this one from VHS Halloween. It kind of is a lone survivor type story being questioned by police because of a party that he attended with his friends, and they're all dressed up in these, you know, coolish costumes, but they all of a sudden go to this room, and there's a telephone. There's like some writing on this wall. He's got to go. He picks it up. He says what's on the wall, and then he gets like frozen, and then shit gets weird. But the way that this is, as he's telling this story, like camera movements, and then it cuts to the party, and then it kind of cuts back to like present day. I really dug that. And you know, like eye gouging is not one of my favorites, but it's kind of cool to see here, and especially because what happens prior to like one main detective person kind of meeting her demise, you see like legs squirming in the background from another person. And then you're like, what's happening here? Is like, is he being eaten or what have you? And it's like, no, he's being forcefully degouged of his eyes. And then the kind of like clever twist is like, it's all on the ceiling, I guess. And so some cool stuff happens, but the editing of just going to and from the party, having like this footage, and then coming back is pretty clever, because it confused me at first. I was like, is this woman who is his friend like an apparition that is happening like right now? I'm not sure, but pretty clever editing. I liked it.
When this one really got me was when it went from the interrogation to revisiting the crime scene. I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea for, yeah, they would be videoing that like that.
Right.
I was like, that's a cool spin on that. That was probably might be toward the bottom of VHS, which I really like VHS Halloween. So I'm saying like, it's all quality, but that one probably would have fallen towards the bottom of them. But like, yeah. And I love that they continue from VHS 2 to include these non-English language entries.
Yeah.
All of them, like you get to a point, and it's so cool.
I agree with you, Brandon, as far as both what you just said, and also that it's lower for me on Halloween, but it's probably because it's directed by Paco Plaza, who made the Wreck movies. Which are to me some of the scariest movies of the last like 30 years. So, like,
two of the best found footage horror movies,
horror movies. So, like, if anything, it's more of there's a potential there that it feels like it's just slightly not meeting. That said, I still like what it's doing. I like the overall story and the concept and everything. And it is effective in its goriness when it gets to this. But I saw his name on the list for Halloween. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Let's get this going.
Yeah.
It's also one of the segments in the entire series, really, that feels like a complete movie more than any of the others, because it's not fully experiential.
Yeah.
It's not, we're starting recording, this is all one take or one night, you know, sort of thing, as opposed to, like you were saying, Abe, like the jumping back and forth between days or, you know, hours, whatever, but, you know, and it gives you a sort of a complete experience in however long it is, like 25 minutes or something.
I also really dig that something happens like in the third act of this short, where somebody else picks up a phone, and I was like, well, I've seen what happens, and it kind of like plays on your idea of well, as a moviegoer, you probably can put two and two together. This person who's picking up the phone will get possessed. It's like, no,
yeah,
just the same dude.
Yep.
All right. My next one is Second Honeymoon.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
This is Ty West's film from the first VHS. I picked this one mainly because I figured 3198 would probably come up, and I wanted, and I'm a big Ty West fan, and so I'm like, this one does stand out for me as far as after, you know, the wraparound and the first entry are both, as we said, fairly misogynistic. This one's like goes a different direction because it's Ty West and it's him at his most like slow burn. So it's a lot of we're watching a married couple go through their trip of what they're doing, like in I believe like they're traveling Route 66, and at night when they're in their hotels, like there's someone mysterious watching them and doing things. And first they start out as like weird like pranks, like putting the toilet the toothbrush on the toilet water and whatnot. And obviously you're like, well, this is a horror movie. It's got to escalate to something more extreme. And it does. And you get, eventually you get one of the more of like, in the realm of like realistic violence compared to like things blow up or whatever. Like it really, like you get a pretty vicious, like slashing that takes place. And like a kind of a secondary twist that occurs as far as like what the nature of this all was.
Women are evil. See? You get two of them together. Look what happens.
Look what happens now.
That but, poor man. That poor man.
Yeah. Yeah. This Won't is, somebody think of the men?
This is 2012. This is when Ty West is right, kind of breaking out as far as his between House of the Devil and The Innkeepers. This is like right in line with that style of what he was doing at that point in his career.
Yeah.
I know he had filmed like he had the Cabin Fever sequel and that stuff he doesn't care about. But
he
like,
talk about that.
The stuff that he kind of became more known for as far as his mumblecore horror stuff goes, like this felt like right in line with that. And I was into that era as far as what he was having to bring to it. So, and Swampert to a lesser extent as well. But no, I dig this. It's one that's always like, for being VHS, the one that I'm not, you know, the entry that I wasn't big on when it first came out, appears with VHS too. This is the one that was beyond the Radio Silence one, just because of the sheer energy of it. This one stuck out to me as far as being like just generally creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of getting under your skin. So, like Second Honeymoon.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he goes off that to do Sacrament the next year. And that's one of my favorite found footage movies. So,
Yeah.
What's he doing now? Like he's done all. He's like really mixed. Well, no, what am I talking about? He just did the X trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, that's what he did. So, yeah, he's
well, Aaron. He did three movies.
He did movies back to back.
Yep.
All right. Bill, what's next?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if I'm going to step on anybody else's toes here.
Go for it. It's good.
Or if I'm going to be yelled at, because it kind of feels like this segment is either one, but it is quite possibly because I love what you just said there, Aaron, about you know. Second Honeymoon really affecting you. And it did when I first saw the first VHS for me too. And I feel like as the series has gone on, it, you know, even though these are like all different directors, all different types of, you know, themes and genres even and whatnot, you know, sci-fi or fantasy horror or whatever, it feels like it's never really trying to transgress that much. You know, it's just sort of being like, oh, let's try this effect or let's try this different thing. Until this year, with VHS Halloween, Alex Ross Perry's Kid Print. I know. Yeah. It's something that like my jaw was on the fucking floor, where I was like, "Are we really going here? Are we going this far into it? Oh, we are." And I think that as much as it might be or is off-putting, or almost a violation of, you know, sort of the social contract with these films of like, oh, it's a grab bag of fun horror shorts and we're just going to have a spooky good time. Mm-hmm. This one really did feel like, fuck you. You know, like this is like, and that's mean. And I've always admired filmmakers that are interested in pushing that envelope. And I didn't really think I was going to see that in one of these movies. And then I did. And I don't know if it's something to admire in terms of like, wow, I can't wait to see that again, or be wary of like, oh, that one. But because I'm on the fence, I kind of had to throw it in there.
Well, I'm glad that Brandon and I get to talk about Alex Ross Perry twice in one year.
Oh, good. Yeah.
If you go to check out the summer of 2015 at 10. This one, this one, there's a matter of factness to it that reminded me a lot of like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Sure.
This one obviously has like, I don't want to say it's not a, how do you even describe it? Cause it's not like a sense of humor, but there's just something about like the genial spirit of the person doing the most stuff where Henry is just like silent. He just like kills indiscriminately. To this one, there's like a person involved that's really feels like he wants to be involved in what he's doing and make sure you're aware that he's involved. So it's like, there's something there that, as you mentioned, transgressive is a way to put it. Like it's going above and beyond like, how do you be creepy? And you just make it like mundane. And yet you're still like fully aware of like the person's near giddiness of what they're like involving themselves in. This one's fucked up.
It's just fucked up.
To the very end, it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like I even like got like Violation vibes at the end. There were like the black and white footage of like, you know, the tapes, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that they were gonna do this with like this age range. But then the other part where he's like Silence of the Lambing it, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah. It's what was I gonna say? I lost it. Hold on, keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah, but what a way to like get away with your stuff. You know, this kind of just proves that local reporting, do better.
Journalism needs to come back.
Yeah.
I think that really, because so many of the segments in these films have a supernatural twist, some sort of fantasy aspect to them. We're really kind of gotten used to that and sort of almost complacent of like, oh, there's a demon. Oh, there's a ghost. Oh, there's this and that. And I think going back, that's why I appreciated getting led into this inadvertently by you, Aaron, with Second Honeymoon, because I think that this segment feels to me like a escalation of that vibe from the original film, which I don't think is too often used in the rest of the movies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, this one's pretty... It's a rough one.
Sorry for bringing the mood down.
No.
But, I remember what that I was going to say.
So that was in my options from VHS Halloween in terms of making a top five had three contributors to it. That's the strength of this new one.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I'm like a childless adult male at this point. I feel like Brandon, you're good with horror and you're trying to get your kids into horror. So like, I know it's a little different for you.
Trying, I've succeeded.
Okay.
My kids, as of last weekend, have wandered the halls of the Monroeville Mall from Dawn of the Dead, loving it. So
thank God, time too.
That's why we went.
I can't imagine more like casual horror watchers that might have children being like, "What did I just get myself into?"
Yeah,
just not being able to like comprehend this in the same way as fucking Fun Size or One Short Before This. All right, Brandon, what's next?
All right, I'm gonna go with the twofer. From VHS 1980 or VHS 85, No Wake and Ambrosia.
Love this one. Yeah.
Mike P. Nelson. This is the first time like in the VHS series where something handshakes itself, which is very cool. And that's not the wraparound. this one starts with like a Friday the 13th-esque kids going to camp out or go to this lake. There's warning signs about don't get in the water. Don't do this. And of course they're ignored. And then someone starts like shooting them, which becomes traumatic from like, you know, mass shootings and shit like that and that aspect. And people are shot in gory ways, dying. Two of the friends stayed ashore. Two of them go on a boat when the shooting happens. The friends on the boat wind up coming back to life and they're like, what the hell? And it must have been the water. And that one sort of ends with them being like, let's go find a damn shooter. Okay. That's the end of that segment, but where it gets stronger as the segment, because a couple segments later, there's this segment Ambrosia where there's this little girl having this like coronation-esque party at her house. And they're like, what's this? And there's like this family tradition she's had to do. And she's fine. You're like, what is this? And then she shows a videotape and she's like the shooter of these kids. Like it's the other side of things. And then like the police are onto it and they like have a shootout at the house and she gets shot. And earlier in that segment, she gets shot with a squirt gun that this girl mentions that she got from a girl in a van, which was from the other segment earlier. And so she comes back to life in the end of it and stuff. It's just really neat to see it play. And then the one segment take a turn like, oh, it's from that thing. So kind of a neat play in the middle of a VHS movie to have two that relate to each other and feel com- kind of completely different in their own right, but having that little handshake was really a neat touch after, you know, VHS 85 is what, the sixth of these?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but, you know, you get in sick and this is the first time they're doing it. And so,
yeah,
kind of a neat reward for VHS fans who have been keeping up with the series and watching these.
It's crazy that the series is however many movies deep and they haven't done their Pulp Fiction yet, you know, in the sense that, yeah, we could legitimately have one of these movies where each segment is connected. They don't obviously have to be the same director or, you know, whatever. But like, yeah, I'm surprised they haven't gone that ambitious yet. Hopefully they will.
Or even like Trick or Treat as far as.
Or Trick or Treat. Yeah.
Kind of all, yeah.
Especially when you do like one like Halloween where you could easily stage it all in like one night and just different stories or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then I'd just be doing Trick or Treat. So.
Well, yeah. Wait, you just pitched Trick or Treat. Yeah, yeah.
It'd just be unoriginal. Unless Fun Size is your common character in every episode.
I mean, he could be the
he's the new mascot of VHS.
Exactly.
Fucking Fun Size.
Imagine the merch sales. He's got a smile on his face.
Merch sales.
Yeah. He'll get his own section at Spirit Halloween. Look at Art the Clown.
Yeah.
They have like Friday the 13th hockey mask and Freddy Claus off to the side, but Art the Clown now has his own thing. It's crazy.
Tiny hats included?
Tiny hats included. Rubber. You can get the mask with the hat as a piece of rubber on it. You can get a real hat. You can get it's great.
All right, Abe, what's your next one?
My last one here, or I guess my second to last one, because we all have a great one, is the wraparound for VHS Halloween, which is Diet Fantasma.
Yeah, I love this one.
In large part, I think it's just because it's like super funny in a dark way of like the scientist guy, super nonchalant in charge of like the operation, just being like, kill him, like, or then like the final segment of it, he's just like, ship it. It's like, yes, but all hell is breaking loose. The other thing that I really enjoyed about this is the simplicity of just let's just find ways to creatively, you know, kill people or kill things. The first way that the guy does it, I was thinking to myself, this is like very reminiscent of John Carpenter's The Thing, where like everything starts coming at you. Soda can kills this guy, but the idea of it is this company, who we're seeing like archival internal footage of, directed by Brian M. Ferguson.
Not to be shared, or not only for internal use only.
Internal use only, yeah. But yeah. They're clearly just running experiments on what is soda, and they're just trying to sell like this new version of soda. But the soda keeps like killing the people who drink it, and we're not exactly sure why. It's later revealed why, but sort of like what happens here, and they kind of play like, well, here's like a one-person thing, here's like a two-person thing, here's if it actually kind of works out and what happens later. But just the nonchalantness of the people behind the two-way mirror is kind of what makes me think, like, it's kind of like actually corporate life for real.
Yeah.
The most graphic way possible, yes.
Yeah.
Sure. I kept wondering, where are they getting these subjects from? What do they do when they, you know, blow up?
Yeah.
they've got to, like, promise them, like, riches or something that will never like come.
Was it the third one? There was one, there was something happening, and he said something that cracked me the fuck up. I can't remember right now. I was just like...
The kid one makes me laugh the most.
Yeah.
It's a child, but, like, his reaction is just like,
Yeah.
All right, cool. Diet Fantasma. I'll just say right now, because it's not on my list, but my favorite wraparound in all of these is 85's with Total Copy.
Total Copy is the best wraparound. It's so good.
It has the best ending, by far.
Yeah. Yes.
Where it involves like a gymnast video, and I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
Brandon, you were talking about WNUF. That's the one that feels the most WNUF to me. Yeah.
They've felt very inspired from that, but that's...
Yeah,
it's very okay as long as they're not rip off, don't remake is what I've always said. So
totally, but yeah, that one being set up as its own like sort of documentary special about, and here's what happened. You know,
that one might have been what more I was thinking of. Yeah, if that one.
Yeah,
Abe, you should have one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have one more.
We're doing five, and then a six,
and a six unanimous. Is our number one. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, just make sure I was
in. We'll hit it.
Okay.
So hurry up and read some more.
I was like, all of the VHS 85.
Just pick one. Yeah.
My next one, honestly, Bill, the way you're describing Kid Print, I thought this is where you're going with the choice that I'm about to have here, because I do think it's similarly, while it does involve the supernatural to agree, I do think it has a there's just a different touch to this one as far as how why it's disturbing to me. And it's okay. Ozzy's Dungeon from VHS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Directed by Flying Lotus, the musician. This is it. How did this go? This is a children's game show parody. The game show is hosted by Bill Moseley, which in a big old wig, which I was already like, that's fun. The game show itself is similar to Legend of the Hidden Temple from Nickelodeon, and mainly because it makes it impossible to win, which I enjoyed. Like, it's just like it seems very clear that like Flying Lotus watched this show and he's always like, I'm gonna make a horror version of that, and he does. But like, and also like Double Dare. I believe Double Dare is another one. Like those just old like game shows. Like just as far as like physical challenges or what have you. Yeah. I had to grapple with that. When I watched VHS 99.
Just so you know, Aaron, because you threw me with the Bill Moseley thing. It's not Bill Moseley. It's Stephen Ogg.
Stephen Ogg. That's what it is.
He looks remarkably like Bill Moseley.
They do look very similar. Look, Stephen Ogg. Thank you.
Yeah.
As I was saying it, I'm like, that feels like that's not correct. But Stephen Ogg's younger. But they do have similar faces.
Really do look alike.
But anyway, Stephen Ogg, big old wig. Stephen Ogg, who's. He's in a lot of things. He's in Walking Dead. He's one of the main characters in Grand Theft Auto 5. Okay. So he hosts this like ghoulish game show. And as I was saying, I had to watch this one a couple times because like I had to grapple with what is it that's disturbing me about this? And there's just something extra going on as far as the contestants involved and like the degree in which it like takes this game show. And the types of things that happen, because there's like, what happened? They kidnap the host. That's the whole thing, right? Trying to piece this game. It's been a minute, but they like because of like the absurdity of the game show, they try to like turn the tables on everything, and then it goes like even more disastrously wrong to the point of like a whole other dimension opening up. Like it's nuts, but it's also like the graphicness of the violence, like just something about like because there's like torture involved or what have you, like there's something there that like threw me in a way that I wasn't expecting compared to some of the other ones that are more like bumps in the night or, you know, something that builds to an eventual graphic end. This one had this kind of like progression of like horrible things going on from a number of different ways. And the fact that it was like weirdly because it's like a game show and they lost, but it's like weirdly they like take the loss personally, so it's humans doing something to somebody else before an even greater threat like come manifests itself. So this one really got under my skin. Is why, and I like 99 quite a bit. This is one of the reasons why it just has, because I already mentioned Suicide Bid. I was trying not to mention another one from this one, and there's even another one that one of you guys might mention, but we'll see. But this one, it did me quite well. I watched it.
Pretty good.
All right. Bill, back to you. What's next?
I'm mentioning one of the ones you thought one of us might mention, sir, from VHS 99, To Hell and Back.
Yep, there it
Vanessa
is.
Joseph Winter. These movies are, whether they're set on Halloween or not, they're Halloween party movies to me. It's the sort of thing that you want to have that various variety, grab bag, fun size experience. And as I said earlier, like it is all about like the endings, in terms of like, if we go out on a high, you're just going to love it that much more. But also having that experiential aspect to it of the POV or the found footage, as well as pushing the envelope forward of like, okay, what if it's not just people walking around a spooky place, you know, at night? What if it's, we actually go to hell? You know, and that's what they do with this, you know, sort of satanic ritual that these guys stumble upon on New Year's Eve, because they're hired by a coven of witches to film this ritual. You know, this woman is volunteering to be a vessel for a demon known as Ukubon. The two guys think this is all bullshit, of course, but then they realize it's real, but they get sucked into hell as part of the ritual as a mistake. Happens, you know, it's this thing that can happen, and they get themselves stuck in hell. And I think that it's really cleverly done the way the Winters do it, in terms of obviously they're on a budget. You know, this is not some sort of grandiose like CGI monstrosity sort of version of you know Hades, but I think that it feels tactile and sort of weird and strange enough that it gives you, the viewer, the feeling of like, oh, this feels kind of legit. And of course the characters, like Mabel is just a you know, a joy, the Mabel, the demon, who helps them sort of escape hell. yes. And, it's just, yeah, it's just wacky, but also kind of creepy and also scary in a, like, sort of, you know, again, experiential, like, oh my God, the giant demon is trying to kill them sort of way. It has its, of course, you know, sort of bleak twist ending, but even that doesn't really take the wind out of it in terms of like, oh, it's sad now because they're dead. It's just sort of ironically funny, you know? And I think that it really is kind of a perfection. And if I wanted to give a segment of these films to someone who's never seen them and said, this is kind of what they're about, like, this is the one I would probably pick.
It's a, yeah, this one pairs well with like 10/31/98 for sure.
It does,
as
far, yeah,
as the kind of like the ride you're going on. And you're not, you're not wrong about the kind of tactile, like, if you're ground zero in hell, you're not going to see it from like a wide scope where you're like, hey, look at all, you know, everything going on. You're just like, all right, there's just walls and shit, and it looks, you know, it's rocks and
yeah,
fire here and there that spurts out of over, you know, and then like the occasional monster or whatever. So like, there's something, it reminds me of something like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey when they go to hell.
Absolutely.
Where, like, okay, specifically, yeah, specifically like when they fall into like Lucifer, like he has like this whole chain setup thing, and like things are like flying into this, but they're like, because they're just human sized people, they're just on like these large versions of chains, and it's like, it's a, there's a tactileness, like you're saying, there's something there where it's like, well, yeah, if you were this size, that's how it would look, right? You don't think about how big it is, you don't look, you don't feel that way, that's not your perspective, you just think of, yeah, this makes sense. There's something that, so like, yeah, this one has that kind of, because it's like this almost like a quest mission movie of like trying to escape. You're just like, yeah, you're down in the middle of hell trying to run through a maze. Essentially. It's like that. It's, and it's also fun. It's very funny. You
very
mentioned
fun.
Mabel, who, yeah, I almost forgot until you mentioned that fact that, oh yeah, that's right, there's a third, there's like a Na'vi character who's like, hey, listen, except she's like this horrible demon lady.
Yeah.
That's, it's a fun one for sure. The Winters, they did the movie Deadstream.
Sure,
you, Bill, you saw Deadstream. Yeah. Brian, have you seen Deadstream yet?
No.
Oh, definitely, okay, check it out. Oh, it's so good.
Deadstream's super fun. That's like, what if we did Evil Dead, but it was found footage? Like, it's
okay.
It's super fun. It's very funny. I think the lead character in it, is it one of the directors?
It's Joseph. Yeah, it's Joseph Winter. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. The guy who's just narrating every, he plays a streamer who like goes to a haunted house,
a canceled streamer.
He's been canceled for whatever reason. And he's like, he's prearranged stuff to happen in the house, but then the house just happens to also actually be haunted. So like, yep, crazy shit's going on. It's really fun. It's one of my favorite like Shudder originals that they've released in the past couple of years.
It's on Hoopla.
On Boo Boo. It's on BB's. Yeah.
I think someone just released it on 4K, I believe, too.
Arrow.
It was an Arrow, yeah.
Okay.
That's a really fun one. Yeah, the Winters are one people that, like, I've kept their names in mind as far as these VHS shorts goes, because I want to see what these guys are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, what's your next one?
All right, let's just keep the VHS 99 love train rolling, okay, because my pick is The Gawkers.
Okay.
By Tyler McIntyre, written by McIntyre and Chris Lee Hill. This is tied into the wraparound because there's these stop motion army men thing going on, and we see who's filming it. And there's like, it's these kids, there's the hot girl that moves in, and the one kid filming becomes like friends with the woman down the street.
It's kind of an American Pie setup almost.
American Pie meets Fright Night type thing. Okay. And they convince him to put a camera, a spy cam in her bedroom. And the night that they're going to watch her undress, like, he gets all weird. He goes over there, and they all end up going over there, and turns out she's a Gorgon with the Medusa thing with snake heads. And if you look at her, you turn to stone. And it's this unique sequence of like stone violence, like horror mayhem that is pretty cool to watch unfold and creepy as hell. So that's one of my picks. That's one of my added pick. You know, I mentioned again, my list is evolved during this to court some other movies. So we're not just like, oh yeah, me too. So, but yeah, this one was on my list of my master list of movies to have. And I like this one quite a bit. And VHS 99, as we mentioned, yeah, that one's full of quality segments.
Absolutely.
All right. Abe, back to you.
This is where I also need your help.
Okay. Go on.
VHS Beyond, Dream Girl. I'm curious, if directed by Virat Pal. This is where an actress is actually not an actress. She's kind of just a machine. And I guess she's on a killing rampage after someone tells her that she doesn't have to take this anymore. But kind of sci-fi-ish slash probably not as scary per se, but I did read that she gouges people's eyes out. So
you're about the eyes today,
I
man.
I guess
oh,
that's
damn.
Like there's I've come upon this, but yeah.
It's gory, that's for sure.
Yeah. I did not love this one.
I feel
gory
like
or not enough gore.
No, I just
there's plenty of gore, but
it doesn't really have a pace or a shape that I enjoy with it. There's a Bollywood number in the middle of it, which is cute. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's like, okay, we're doing this, that's fine. And it's trying to sort of do a commentary on, you know, the commodification of actresses and actors and women and everything. But it just sort of ends.
Kind of misses, yeah. I think I'll put that lower. I'll watch Aaron's Live and Let Die first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably the best one from
Live and Let Die. Yeah.
Yeah. I really do enjoy Stowaway, the Mike Flanagan, Kate Siegel one, conceptually, if not, you know, execution wise. But
I feel that one, I feel the same way I feel about, honestly, what we're talking about, Dream Girl.
I
like what it wants to do more than how it does it. And I was excited. I was, especially because it's the last one for Stowaway. I was like,
oh, right. Yeah.
I was excited for that. I was like, Mike Flanagan wrote it. Kate Siegel's presumably her directorial debut, I believe. Like, she's doing this one. I can't wait for this. And it just felt underwhelming to me. But Dream Girl, I feel like Beyond, if they did Halloween first and then they did Beyond, where like AI is even more of like a thing in the news or whatnot, I feel like they might have had a chance to shape the narrative a bit more creatively as far as what they wanted to do with it. Like, as of now, it just feels like a test ground for ideas, but they don't really quite come together.
Oh yeah, there's like that Fur Babies one's kind of effective, but like kind of like, goes too long.
It's like it goes too long, and it's because it's like a Moreau kind of like a Dr. Moreau kind of thing.
Yeah. It feels like you know how Pixar have a cartoon before the movie. It'd be like it'd be like the one you show before Human Centipede.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Enjoy Fur Babies.
I mean, I was already ragging on Tusk last episode, but Fur Babies is like Tusk, but good. That's what I kind of call it.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Aaron.
It gets to the point, and it doesn't belabor it for another like 45 minutes.
You'd have to sit through fucking Johnny Depp doing his
Inspector
Clouseau thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got, Aaron?
Because I've moved some around. See, I'll just say this one because it's also in Beyond. Stork.
Love Stork.
Stork is the one that opens Beyond, and it's basically
peaks early.
Yeah. Because I like Live and Let Die, but Stork is. Stork feels like Live and Let Die third?
Yeah.
Yeah. In that regard. Stork feels like the one that could have been the ending of Beyond as far as the fun factor.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
Stowaway feels like that could have been like the second to last one. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And then we get to like, here's the fun. Cause this one's basically like a first person shooter come to life. Where like this unit goes to this dilapidated house where apparently like there's been like missing babies have been reported to like be centering around here for whatever reason. And then like zombies come in and they just start. And then there's like zombies with like chain. It feels like Resident Evil meets the first person shooter. Like there's chainsaw zombies and there's all these like crazy zombies and other like really cool creature designs. That, like, if there's one thing that VHS has to deal with often, it's the fact that they're low budget movies, and so they don't always have the money for better visual effects or prosthetics that work when you really look at them. This one really has a cool like take. Like, it knows how to handle the visual, like the prosthetics or whatnot, to give you these crazy like zombie monster things. Like I think the main still of Beyond is one of these like creepy zombie things with like a chainsaw. Like it knows what it's doing here, and it's a lot of fun. I believe you're swapping between different first person people.
That's a neat conceit. Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're watching Doom essentially. Like you're just going through and like just see
better Doom
blast all these monsters and whatnot. Yeah, exactly. Better Doom. Nobody misses with the BFG.
Yeah.
one thing to do. No,
nobody picks up the BFG and then 20 minutes later uses it. Yeah.
And misses.
And misses, yeah. Yeah.
It's a big fucking gun. What else are you going to do? Yeah. But no, Stork is, I think this one's a lot. This one set me up to, I was hoping for more from Beyond than what I ultimately got, but like, mm-hmm. it's still like, it has a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I'll throw that one on there. And that's from a director, Jordan Downey, written by Jordan Downey, Kevin Stewart. Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. Let's get to it, into what the agreed upon number one choice is. Of course, from VHS 2. It is Safe Haven from directors Gareth Evans and Timo Taranto.
Oh, that's not what I thought you meant. No, yeah.
Hold up.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
I thought we were talking about Amateur Night, guys.
Amateur Night, clearly.
Amateur Night, like, which VHS, we all know, starts here and just...
So, Safe Haven, Abe, famously, when I was watching VHS 2 over 10 years ago now, I was watching the film... After Safe Haven ended, I had to pause the film and walk into the bathroom and just put water on my face. And I texted you, I had to stop VHS 2 right now because this is too much.
I was shocked because you famously don't really get sick at movies.
Yeah, I don't get like disturbed by that too much.
Yeah,
the energy in this one and the way it ramps up. This is the longest entry still in the VHS franchise, and it does not feel that way. Like the way it goes from zero to fucking 100 is nuts. You have this film crew that's in some like undisclosed Indonesian location. It's in a cult somewhere, and they're just like, all right, let's go interview the cult, let's go see what it's all about, whatnot, like a regular documentary, you know.
The wrong day.
Pick the exact wrong day, because like midway through as they're recording, like sirens start going off and you're like, what's happening? And there's all these like, suddenly, you know, like there's ritual suicides going on. People are blasting themselves in the face. The documentary crew's trying to like get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. We have relationship drama.
Relationship drama.
There's just enough backstory stuff going on to get you like on the side of the crew, which is important. We don't talk about this enough, but there's a lot of effort to like either make you already kind of dislike some of the main characters or put you like. Make you feel as though they kind of deserve what's happening to them. Others try to make you very sympathetic for them. VHS Halloween, which we're talking about, the first sketch of that one, the Cuckoo Coochie one, that one is like, it's these like two like college girls that are like, they're about to go off to college and they're kind of like, they're kind of pulling pranks. They're harmless enough, but you're also like,
they're just stealing candy.
Like a lesson to be taught, but then it's like the worst lesson possible. And it's like,
it's awful.
So like this one is like, you're pretty much on the side of the crew. There's like, they're just trying to make a thing. And yes, you know, people have troubles. So by the time like everything starts going down, something's been summoned. We don't know what. There's a whole bunch of pregnant women things. And there's just stuff going on there. People are exploding all over the place.
There's a car chase.
It becomes more nuts that leads into a car chase. And you're like, what's being chased here? Or what is chasing it? And then you like, you even think, you're like, okay, are we like out of this situation? And like, nope. Then like some kind of crazy goat demon comes and destroys. Like, this movie's nuts. It takes just enough time to get itself set up and then just unleashes in a way that makes a lot of sense for, at the time, director Gareth Evans, who we know from the Raid films. We're like, oh, he does horror. Let's see more of this. And then you have like early Timo Taranto, who's since become like, another action director that we want to keep seeing more from, who's also gone on to do at least two more segments in the age. He's done, Stowaway? Not Stowaway.
The subject.
Well, of course you bring him back. Yeah, after this,
But I'm talking a lot about you guys feel about it.
I obviously it's tremendous. It's the clear winner, both objectively and mostly subjectively for everybody who's seen all of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's fascinating to me as just a franchise guy who loves to study these things and talk about them. In terms of, usually when you have a clear hit in a franchise, you get instantly like a bunch of imitators where it's like, let's try and hit that high again, let's try and hit that guy again,
right?
And while they did bring back Taranto, they never brought back Evans, or maybe he's just too busy or not interested. I don't feel like even Taranto's, you know, subject and everything like that doesn't feel like a obvious ploy to try and redo this or try and recapture it. And I think it's very cool to me to see a franchise hit a high like this, almost unanimously agreed upon high, that it doesn't try and trade off of, you know, endlessly, you know, in terms of like, there's another version of this franchise where we could be talking about it and be like, okay, and then in the sixth, you know, film, there's another Safe Haven like segment that's not right. as good as Safe Haven, you know, sort of thing. I really commend them for that in terms of this is the segment that, you know, certainly more than the first VHS as a whole proved to everyone watching like, oh, this is a, like, this is making its own, you know, mark on the world. This is not something that's like a lark or just something for indie horror filmmakers to sort of, you know, have a laugh at or something like that. This is something that's legitimate and really stands on its own in a way that you want to make it a point to see it rather than, oh, it's just one of those things that comes out every year. Who cares? Like sort of stuff, you know?
I think it speaks to a sort of respect that this series has for its filmmakers, where it's not about trying to, like you're just saying, not trying to ascribe, do this kind of idea, do that. There's certainly maybe a rhythm to the shorts that we get as far as like, okay, let's have one like this that kind of sets things up. Let's have one that's a little slower maybe. And then we end with a bang kind of thing. But as far as the filmmakers are concerned, it does feel like these shorts are all personalized to them. They are subjects that interest them as filmmakers as far as what kinds of movies they want to make. And so, especially now when you have filmmakers that are so inspired by other films they've seen, whether it be from the past or from just recent times, I imagine people that saw VHS2 horror filmmakers aren't being like, I got to make my own version of that. They're like, I'm impressed. Now let me do the thing that I want to do as far as what interests me, as far as my horror tastes are concerned.
Yeah. Right. And I think so. This one, Bill, I think you brought up, you know, most franchises do this, but I think this is the case of a franchise or a studio learning the right lessons from something
In
Safe Haven, they learned we should add more international flavor to the VHS franchise and they keep doing it. Mm-hmm. That was the lesson to learn from this because it's more than just because, you know, VHS was started by the quote unquote mumblecore directors who weren't necessarily doing a lot of horror, came together, said found footage is a thing. No one's done anthology in a long time. Let's all, we're all low budget guys. We can do this. And, take it off. We all apparently hate women for one reason or another. I don't know. I think it's incidental that it just came out that way with it. Like they all
were also like the characters are like,
oh no,
the characters are supposed to be sleazy and bad. Like,
and
a bunch of horn dogs.
You could take it as like their thoughts on that more than it is them endorsing it. And I don't think any of them endorse it. But yeah, so like this one comes and it leans in and it shows that, you know, with the length of it too, you can do 5 minutes or you can do, you know, 20 to 30, you know, as long as you have the thing we need and it's effective, we'll put it in there. And so it just, and this thing on its own, like I don't, you know, I'd say mostly numb myself to horror, but, you know, being into it since I was in the single digits of age over my life and not being afraid to check things out. Like this thing got under my skin like no other. Like it's so crazy when something like this comes out and I'm almost afraid to return to it every time. And it's and it's one of the most effective horror things on this side of the millennium. And it's still thrilling, just awful. Like, 'cause it feels like you're watching some sort of like footage. I think the quality of it feels like footage you see of like Aftermath stuff, but you're seeing it happen too. It's got that film quality that it's really effective, and the people just there's sacrifice made in this. There's, you know, humanity trying to come out, but failing, and then it hits supernatural tone. It's so and it all works, and it's just ramping up the intensity as you go, and you just need to take a breather after watching it. Like it is. So
one of my more favorite things about this is something that Bill brought up earlier about one of the segments that I talked about, which is it's very complete.
It's very like full story.
It tells a full story, but like even when they're just like talking to these folks, you know, seeing like the school children like learning and everything, it's like you're like, oh, this is, I don't know what's happening here, but you know, like I'm waiting for like a shoe to drop, and the shoes drop pretty hard. Like they like they're, you know, I. The amount of like fake blood, CG blood, you know, what blood? It's like it's all over. Like it's literally like something that goes from like 0 to 100. And what I really enjoy about it too is like this simple idea of just let's go make a documentary about like this unseen tribe. And this happens from time to time too. You're just like, there are still tribes in the world that people have not really learned about because they're so isolated or what have you. And, you know, customs can be customs, you know, cultures can be cultures. So this is not very much in line with this, but there's like that one kid who paddled out to like that one island where there was two signs. Yeah. They're like, don't go here. They're cannibals. And he was like, hey, man, I got to do it for the love of Jesus. And what happens to him? He's like, he unfortunately gets killed. And they're making like a movie or a documentary about him now.
He got green inferno'd.
Yeah. But yeah, like what? It's just like it's so complete is like one of my favorite takeaways of this is like, oh, cool. Like you get a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it like what you were saying, too, like it actually it looks really good.
Oh yeah, the filmmaking is spectacular as far as how it looks. It's all there. I think another element that I think really works is why I like VHS 2 the most is I think the sequencing is spectacular. I think the fact that it's the third one and not the final one I think is a great service to it, especially because the next one, the Jason Eisner film Slumber Party Alien Abduction, which was then later turned into a movie, Kids versus Aliens, that one's very fun. Oh. It's also, it has a level of intensity just by nature of what's going on, but it's weird to say this about an alien movie, but it brings you back down to earth. Like after you've given
you've got this like cheese ball,
you've got this insane, like craziness of mass suicides and people shooting each other and like, and demon goats and what have you. Then you're like, okay, good. A kid's slumber party. Yeah. Aliens attack it, but you know, it happens. Like, but at least it's like, it's more like, there's a recognizable fun there that feels not otherworldly compared to the like crazy cult shit that you just saw. And so I think it really, like VHS 2, I think just knows how to close itself off really well without like, could it leave you with the cult thing and be like, and now we'll call it a day? Sure, it could. But I like that it gives you like kind of a come down like sketch after that. Well, that's also
there's a reason I brought up mixtapes earlier, and it's, you know, it wasn't frivolous. It's the fact that these films are cinematic mixtapes, really, when they're well done. And I think that you're describing that exact quality, Aaron, of you could end on like the 9-minute prog rock, you know, opus of like, oh, this is the most incredible composition you've ever heard, and it goes so many dark places and weird places and unexpected places, and it really leaves you with so much to think about and da da da. But you do need like the Sabrina Carpenter song right after, just sort of like cool down, you know, get back into a groove, and then we can leave, you know, sort of thing.
Right.
All right. Well, we've done it. We've talked about our favorite segments here.
Wait, I have a question for Bill.
Oh,
Bill, were you physically ill by this or needed a break?
What? Oh, by this? Oh,
by Safe Haven?
I thought you meant this podcast.
No.
Always. Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Oh, God. You guys are gross.
Call Bucket Bill for no reason.
Bucket Bill. Yeah, no, I definitely was disturbed. Not as much as Kid Print. I think the Kid Print was just the thing of like, I don't believe that we're going there. Whereas this, given the knowledge of Evans and obviously now the retrospective knowledge of Giganto, it doesn't feel as shocking in terms of like, oh, they're going here. But it does certainly, the intensity and the cumulative buildup of it, you know, of course it's really affecting. Yeah.
Yeah, even when you said Kid Print, I got like chills on my spine.
Kid Print, the problem with Kid Print is like that's plausible.
Safe Haven is like, it's a nightmare scenario of like, if this is real, this is what it would look like. Whereas Kid Print is like, this has been real. Like,
we're going to have to do a background check to see if this was actual footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Any others that people want to shout out real quick? Just like, just
so briefly. There were two that didn't get mentioned that were in my master list. Else, so we're all like same page with a lot of these. Yeah. So I had Home Haunt from Halloween.
Okay.
I like that one.
You liked Halloween a lot. Okay.
Yeah. See the monster, the stuff come to life. It's kind of a nothing thing. Like there's whatever, but I like some of the.
It's a fun
monster. It's cute. Yeah, it's a fun ending. Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. And then I had Slumber Party Alien Abduction from VHS 2 that didn't get mentioned. Mm-hmm. So those were the two that didn't get mentioned from my master list, which is just a fun little. I like how it starts with like prank on sister and then reverse the prank on the brother and then shit happens. And
have you seen Kids vs. Aliens, the feature adaptation?
No, I didn't watch this Kids vs.
Aliens. It's fun. It's really fun. I dug it quite a bit. I like Jason Eisner. He's not, the Hobo with a Shotgun. That was like his other thing that got him.
I did see Hobo with a Shotgun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more from him because those are the only two films he's done so far. So.
Yeah.
Bill, do you have any others?
No, you guys hit all mine. I mean, this is going to be a little silly to, I guess, just to try and find something to say, but I did always appreciate in the first VHS, the Tuesday the 17th segment using, I guess, an analog glitch as the monster, right?
Because
Yeah. Glenn McQuaid directed that one. And, you know, it's basically a, because given the title, it's a Friday the 13th riff, you know, slasher sort of riff. Mm-hmm. But in that one, I guess the gimmick is that it's not a mass slasher so much as it's like this analog glitch that's kind of only able to be seen on the tape or on the you know, the camera.
Right.
But it's also there in real life. It has a sort of a metaphysical aspect to it, which I always appreciated.
That is a good one. Yes.
I did think about that. What was that one called again?
Tuesday the 17th.
Yeah. Cause I remember like that, I thought that was, yeah, anyway, but yeah.
Yeah.
I will shout out Amateur Night. Like it is one okay. where again, it's, the nature of VHS being, as we said, just very, you know, misogynist and masochistic, what have you. Like, it's just, it's a lot to take in. We're like, all right, three guys are going to just try to do something with some girl. But the turn that it takes, the makeup, mm-hmm. honestly, on this, like, succubus creature that they do, and, mm-hmm. you know, a good genital rip, it all comes together quite well. I haven't seen the film because this turned into Siren.
Right. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that film that, you know, expands upon this one, but like it wasn't on my list. So it's not one of my favorite segments, but it is one that's like, I think it's another like one off that somewhat defines kind of what VHS movies can be like, as far as just like throwing you into like a certain kind of scenario where you think you're doing one thing and then like something else kind of takes you into a different direction. Mm-hmm. So yeah, yeah. I think it's worth shouting out. Yeah.
And I'll shout out because it's, you know, relevant to right now. I think that Derrickson and Cargill's Dreamkill is more effective in what it tries to do than necessarily Black Phone 2. I like aspects of Black Phone 2. I think that as a feature, it has some issues in terms of pacing and you know, whatnot. You guys can see for yourself if you haven't seen it yet. But I think the Dreamkill really gets to that sort of metaphysical aspect of, oh, I'm having these dreams, but the dreams are in, you know, analog format, right? Mm-hmm. But they can actually, they're actually getting printed onto VHS tapes and stuff like that. I think there's a fun sort of, yeah, weird supernatural aspect to it that really works well in a short because it doesn't give you that much time to think about the logic of it. It's just about the creepiness of, oh, could this happen? You know, sort of thing.
Yeah. Didn't realize it was a Derrickson Cargill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one where I was underwhelmed by that one, but it's also one where I feel like I've been wanting to rewatch it because I just haven't had a chance. I wanted to rewatch it for this because I just like
it did hold up better for me on a rewatch than the first time for sure.
Okay, it's also one because like that's one where again it felt like beyond as far as I don't know if this was the best one to end on. Where I think Brandon, you mentioned No Wake and Ambrosia. I wonder if it would have been better to. Well, that's the thing.
I bet it was
because the total copy is such a cool wraparound. Yeah. It would be hard to have No Wake and then have the final short be Ambrosia, which is that handshake that you're talking about with the previous one, and then also go back to the wraparound again. I think it'd be too much, like layering of handshakes between different segments or whatnot. Go, because 85 is one that I'm just not huge on overall. Like okay. I like.
You guys have like a top one.
Two
like movie
two, like VHS two.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, what do you think, Bill?
People give a lot of like 94 love.
Yeah, there's a lot of 94 love.
Brandon, I would agree with Brandon. Like Halloween is actually pretty.
I don't know. Halloween is so damn strong too, as a whole.
I think it's strong because it's coming off of
It's coming off Beyond,
Beyond and 85, which I think they're two of the weakest ones. So like,
yeah,
yeah. I had most from VHS two. 99 and Halloween were ones that were coming off stronger, and I had multiple ones from some other ones. Like the first one I had the 1031 98 and then the second Honeymoon as options from mine. But yeah, I think, you know, it's a fun little viral, probably my least liked of them, but it still has one of my favorite ones from them. So
right.
But, yeah. And it's not like an extreme hatred for Viral. It's just like, it doesn't work for me. And I'm the type of person like, oh, with what they're doing right now with Shudder having it and putting one every year, I'm like, you know, like something like Beyond, like, it just didn't work for me that much this year. We'll go try again next year. You
it's
like,
it's not as momentous an occasion. It's like, oh, last Star Wars didn't work for me.
This has to count.
This has to count. Yeah.
You know, we're now at like, what, where we had eight. Seven or eight, eight. Films,
yeah.
Eight films in about 4 to 5 shorts a piece. It's like 40, you know, 40 to 50 segments. Like it's a lot. I mean,
do you think we got a VHS lot, Christmas yeah. next year?
That would I'm be, surprised they haven't done it. Yeah. Let's
I
do it.
Mean, we're just getting to Halloween. So I mean,
yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. When we get yeah. to VHS Arbor Day is when we need to maybe pump the brakes.
The plants are attacking.
The plants. Oh, no. Yeah.
Special guest director M. Night Shyamalan. Okay.
Oh, it's got water in it.
Why haven't they come up with like VHS Beta for one and they just do whatever they, you know, they it's can do what tapes. They want. Betamax. Yeah. VHS Beta, VHS Laserdisc. Like, you can go with the formats.
VHS 4K. They're just it'd beautiful.
Be, I mean, the VHS Laserdisc one would be a hilarious idea of just like all of a sudden like it stops because you have to flip the Laserdisc. So, you've got to like go put in tape 2.
Great. VHS CD-ROM.
VHS mini, Sony mini CD.
VHS teacher's typing.
Yeah, mini discs. Yeah.
You have to outrun the monster by typing.
VHS encyclopedia. What was the encyclopedia for CD-ROM that was
there? VHS Encarta.
Encarta, yeah, yeah. Encarta.
You have to look at
these
the
free
secrets.
Ideas.
There we go. There we
VHS
go.
Windows 95 tutorial starring Jennifer Aniston.
The paperclip to like fucking tries to get you.
LucasArts presents VHS. Yeah. It's a point and click adventure game.
I'm surprised none of them have tried to do like a workout video yet because those were all the rage.
Billy Blanks type
of. Oh, yeah.
No, like, and make a horror of that.
Well, that's, I mean, that's 85. They got Total Copy. They got the wraparound.
Oh, yeah. Mm. True.
All right. We got
to clear that horror has allowed right. for us to have great ideas.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I do. Thank you, guys. This is a lot of fun going
yeah,
over
thank
the
you.
Cool
thank you.
That. I hope people listening. I've written them all down, so I will have a list of all our favorite segments that we've chosen in case you want to shortcut your way.
Oh, Aaron, can you watch. See yes. from the list you just made? Were there any whole movies that we left out that didn't get a segment mentioned?
No, we got one from every one of them.
One from everyone. Okay, cool. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, for sure we did.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's certainly plenty to recommend here. And we look forward to more VHS installments in the future. But we got to wrap up. So where can people find more of you guys online? Brandon Peters.
The Brandon Peters Show, which can be found on all streaming or podcast platforms, including YouTube, my YouTube channel. My socials at Brandon4KUHD. I'll be appearing at Doctoberfest the day after this drops on October 18th. I have an essay featured in a book dropping that day called Fantastic, a celebration of fans discovering Doctor Who, and I'll be doing some recordings revolving around that, as well as signing books.
Very good. Bill, where can people find more of you?
You can find me at all socials at Bill Bria. You can find my writing at Slash Film and Discussing Film and other places I freelance at. I have a booklet essay in the upcoming Vinegar Syndrome 4K release of Tromeo and Juliet. And I also have my podcast, which is Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater on the Strand of Panda Network. And we're about to, after I'm done with this, record our episode on VHS Halloween. Ha ha ha.
Wow.
There you go. You can do it. You can find everything I do at my personal Substack page, cozy.substack.com. I am the co-host of Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. If you want to hear myself and friend of the show, Terrence Johnson, talk about Godzilla on a bi-weekly basis. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4.
Abe. For more friends, over my Instagram, Abe.Mua, and Blue Sky, Twitter, Walter Smith, hashtag be kind, rewind.
Oh, I get it, because we did VHS.
You can find all the other episodes of this podcast everywhere you can find podcasts. We're on all the webs. We're on all the socials.
We're online.
Look us up. You can find, you know where to find this show. Brandon, Bill, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you both.
Hey, thank Naka. You, guys.
This is a lot of fun. Next week, we should be talking Canadian horror. Canadian horror is our next subject.
Exploitation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exploitation.
We might have to pay you for that one.
That should be that should be fun to get into. But yeah, that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.